So I am so excited today to bring in the incredible Rachel Peterson into the show. If you don't know Rachel, I don't know where you're living under a rock, but she has built an eight-figure empire and really has rewritten the rules of like social media for business owners. I found Rachel back in, I think, around 2019, 2020. I was telling her that I have a bunch of videos that I literally downloaded to my phone. And I just really admire, there's lots of things that I admire about you. I admire your story, I admire your work ethic, and also your authenticity and vulnerability. I know like it's a word that people throw around a lot, but it's very true when it comes to you. She's reached like, I think you have somewhere out there like over 100 million people organically, and has really just built this incredible process for creating presence on social media consistently without burning out and sounding like everybody else in your space. So I'm really excited to have you here, Rachel.
I
Thank you
am
for being
so
here.
excited to be here. So thank you.
I love it. So, okay, tell me, I know there's lots of little things to share, but tell me a little bit about your story and background in a nutshell.
Yeah, for sure. So basically, I'm not college educated, which is what always blows my mind the most in my story. So basically, I grew up in kind of like poverty, but very like resilient, figure out action steps, find a way. My dad always drilled those things into my head. We'll always find a way. If you don't have the money, you better have the time, etc. And that really bled into every area of my life. At 21, I accidentally became a single mom, which was the greatest blessing, of course, but also came with a lot of challenges. And at that point, I had to figure out, what do I do? So I went to hair school. It was the least resistance, like path to a decent career that I could see. Went to hair school, and then one day I was sitting working with a client. It was her first day in the salon. I'm giving her highlights, and we start talking about like Shark Tank and business and marketing strategies and how I was posting on social to attract clients. I would just post these simple before and afters, like, is your hair feeling too thin and you've got event season coming up? Try out a small pack of extensions, etc. And I would show the before and after. And she's like, we need this in our business. Do you want to be our marketing consultant? And I was like, yeah. And then afterwards, of course, I panicked and I was like, I have absolutely no clue what I'm doing. But over the last 11 years, I've obsessively studied and tested and implemented and pivoted. And over along the way, I've been able to work with some pretty cool clients, most of the names that most people know in pretty much any space. So that's like the super short version of
I love
it.
it. That's amazing. I
Yeah.
think it's that quality of I always love how Marie Forleo says it, like figure it outable, right? Everything
Yeah,
is figured out,
brilliant.
right? The like
Yeah.
the type of people who are able to figure it out. I feel like that's so needed if you're looking to be, I don't know if you can build a successful business if you don't have that skill. I don't know if it's a skill, but that quality within you, right?
Isn't it called like meta thinking? It's the ability to analyze the way that you're actually thinking about things. So if you weren't, I always think like, why isn't everyone else like this? But for us, it was necessity and survival that created those skills. So if you're like, I don't know how to figure it out, you almost have to step into the shoes of someone else and be like, well, they figured it out. So how did they figure it out? Okay, I'm gonna go to YouTube, I'm gonna go to blogs, I'm gonna go to podcasts and get as much information as I can and then piece it together and create something.
I love it. Yeah, it's true. I mean, I feel like I've always identified like that personally. And part of it is also my story of coming to this country as an immigrant. So in part, it was necessity. But I think I've always been like that since I was a kid. So there you
Yeah, I love
Okay,
that.
so tell me a little bit about kind of like the work that you do. I mean, I know that you have many programs. I've seen a lot of the work that you do, but your focus is mostly social media. And but like give me a little bit of background on what
Yeah.
you sell right now, so we can talk a little bit about our audience and all of that too.
For sure. So I basically have two sides of my business. One side is education. So there's everything from $7 templates and worksheets and things that support growth, all the way up to masterminds and group coaching programs. So that's the education piece. In the services side, the done for you, I work with three clients per year. It's extremely high ticket, $250,000 a year. And it is done with you, done for you, sometimes consulting, sometimes coaching, like super intensive style. But I don't work with many people there. I've tested the one to many, and I love just having three clients. I like three kids, I like three pets, I like, so it's worked really well. And right now we're working with everything from a doctor who has a thriving in-person brick and mortar business, and she wants to expand to online. So it's kind of startup in a way, but not really. And then we're also working with a company that's doing 26 million a year, and our job is to increase lead gen through done with you and done for you elements.
I love that. So
Yeah.
a lot of the audience that I work with is focused on attracting high-end clients and premium people into their businesses. When you look at your highest paying clients, like, what do you think makes the biggest difference between those people and the ones like and the millions of people that maybe follow you for free content? I'm
Oh my
curious.
gosh, yes. So you'll actually probably love this just based on what we discussed before we hit record, because it all goes back to psychology. They need to know who they want to serve. If they say everyone, I'm not working with you. They need to know, or at least be willing to know, what is it that your person is crying about in their car, in their shower, in their bath. So I walk all of my clients through that. I'm like, I'm sorry if this feels basic, but you're missing this, and we need to do it. This is essential. It's a non-negotiable. I need to know who you want to reach, what they're currently experiencing, and how we can bridge from what you figured out to meeting them where they're at. That is honestly the biggest thing. That is number one for me.
Agreed. I think that for me, it always comes down to the audience. But what I have kind of discovered over the years is that like people who are most likely willing to invest, they don't kind of even coming back to what we were talking about before, they don't identify themselves as victims in their life and like, oh, I usually tell people like you don't want to become the Ursula where you're speaking to the poor unfortunate soul, basically, right?
I love that. Oh my gosh. That
And so
is so
you're going into like
good. Yes.
you're falling apart and nothing is working and your life is a mess. And it's like that's not how the buyer sees themselves. Like they have problems, but we don't
Yeah.
need to get into the pain of it. And so
Yeah.
but the audience piece for me is really, really important. And like without that, everything else falls apart is how I see it.
Yes. I so agree with that. And I think that's why, in my mind, the two sides of my business are almost siloed from each other. There is crossover, but not as much as you would think. On the education side, where I'm not stepping into the weeds with you to rescue you, pull you out, help you rescue yourself. On that side, that's where I do lead with more of like the pain points, but it's a quick fix offer, an impulse buy, something that will quickly get you results in 3 steps. My long-term clients, they think more like Disney. They're like, we're going to acquire, George Lucas's studios, and it's going to take us 20 years to pay it off because we know that long-term it's a good play. So my clients on this side, they know it's going to take time. They're invested. They don't make excuses. They're like, how can we find a solution? And they're willing to make sure it
I
happens.
love that. That's really
Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I have a question regarding audience and also social media that I've always come across. I find, and obviously you are the expert at this, to be honest with you,
Well, you're an
that
expert too,
when I
but you
create
know.
content, and this is true, like this is a totally selfish question in a way, but I
I
also
love
see it through
it.
my clients and all. So when I create content on social media, what drives clients to me is when I go very niche and specific and I do that higher level language, right? But that doesn't go viral, right? That's not the type of content that goes viral.
No.
Broad content is the type of content that ends up going viral, but that doesn't attract clients who are necessarily paying clients. So I'm curious to hear from you, like, how do you balance both of that when you're creating content?
Yeah. Okay. So this is actually something that comes up every day. And it's the concept of, are all eyeballs good eyeballs? And I've gone back and forth with this many times. And I see the benefits to both. Both paths can work. Like, I'm going to share the specific things that build my business. But specifically, when you're wanting to scale, that's when you need to be comfortable with having a little bit of decreased engagement, less qualified people coming in, so better filters on applications and sales processes, and that's okay. And you also need to know the purpose of each and every post. So is this post, yeah, to broaden my reach, bring in new people who could refer their friend, their aunt, their neighbor, etc. No eyeballs are wasted. I just want to put that out there. And that's why we're seeing and will continue to see a lot of big names going more and more into mass market, non-business related content. Wink, 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 wink. I'm seeing that big time. But I also don't get my big audiences from the broad appeal ones. I get my big clients, the big people who are ready to invest, from when I show results and KPIs, and those never go viral.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I agree. I think that it's a good balance between both. For me personally, for example, I have been more focused on more niche specific, right? And it works. For me, that works. But it's quieter. There's not as much engagement, which is fine because I find that the higher level clients are not necessarily people that are going to be commenting, yeah, love it or whatever, right? They're quiet, but they buy. And I'm like, I don't mind that. Like, I don't mind quietly growing and building my business, even if I'm not a big name influencer or anything like that. But one thing that I have been testing a little bit more myself is including more of the personal side of my story. Like, I had a video recently talking about how I came to the US as an immigrant and kind of my story behind that. And so that type of content performs what obviously better in that sense, right? So I think that it's balancing a little bit of both and ultimately what your goals are, right?
I do think that though supercharges things long term. Because if we all just wanted like cut and dry, professional polish, stick to the topic, like we'd go back to college. You know what I mean? Go get a master's or a PhD or whatever. Truth be told, we fall in love with people's frameworks because of who they are and how they present it to us. The most valuable ones are not the ones that get seen necessarily. So I'm a big believer that if you show who you are just through the mirror exposure effect, which is a psychological phenomenon, people tend to like you more the more that they see you. But also when you share your story, mirror neurons go on in people's brain, meaning whatever you're feeling, the emotions and intention in your content, they're experiencing the same neurons lighting up and activating in their brains as if they're experiencing it. So the parasocial relationship can be a powerful way to actually connect with people on a personal level and then transform them because now trust is involved.
That's really interesting. I love that. That's really interesting, and that also makes a lot of sense as to why that type of content can work really well. And you know, I also think this might play in. Like, I have a type of content that I like teach my clients to create that I call the Sally, which I have all, like I use a lot of references for like random stuff. So this is from When Harry Met Sally, the scene of I'll have what she's having, right? And so it's like, how do we create content that makes people feel like I want that, right? And it's like, how do you embody success? And like, it's really bringing this feeling of, I don't even know what this is, but I want that. And so that, I feel like that's probably why.
There's also something too, I agree with that. And there's something to the concept of vulnerability. So I've been on the inside of a lot of big businesses, no names here. And the biggest thing that blew my mind was realizing that they didn't actually have everything figured out in their businesses. And the CEO or the C-suite, like they're crying in their car on the way home from work. The number of times I've been pulled aside by a CMO crying, being like, I'm so stressed about this, and the CEO is stressed about this. And so when I realized that these big businesses have bigger problems and they don't feel safe to talk about it or comment me or whatever, that's when I realized that if we only show that everything's put together, there's almost sometimes like that missing element of, I want to know that you've been where I am. I want to know that you've experienced struggles. Otherwise, they assume it's all just been easy and it feels like that's unattainable. So I always try to remember that. Like, even the biggest names you know are crying or throwing temper tantrums or feeling like, why does everyone else seem to have this figured out? And that
Right.
helps me a lot with being okay with sharing some of the
I love that.
vulnerability. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're great at that. Like I feel like, I mean, I've seen a lot of what you've shared in your journey, and it's so refreshing and so honest that I just find it to be, I don't know, like it's probably one of the reasons why we're even having this conversation. It's like
I love
why I
that.
felt connected
Yeah.
to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That honesty. So I think that that's really important. Okay, so tell me a little bit about, I have this concept. Again, I have a bunch of concepts, ideas, all the
Love
things, but I
them.
call it your angle of mastery. And basically, for me, your angle of mastery is like your big idea, your premise, your promise. It's like, what is it that you're actually selling? And I'm curious to know if you have something like that defined. Like, what do you feel is that thing that makes you unique in the way that you do things?
Ooh, okay. So this, I'll share the, that is so loaded and I love it. And
I
I'm
know,
glad
sorry.
to go
Like
through
simple
that
question.
concept. So I have the advanced answer and I have the simple answer. The advanced answer is I'm actually more obsessed with understanding how our brains work than anything else. I am obsessed with how weird we are as humans, you know what I mean? I love learning about effects and phenomenons and psychological triggers. And the reason for it is because sometimes I think the most brilliant people aren't being seen. And that makes me sad because they don't know how to translate it to work with the brain. Simple things like, yes, you can reach high ticket clients speaking at a seventh grade reading level. Why? Not because they're dumb, they're just busy and they need to get information fast. So, it's almost neuroscience and human behavior. Those two things are my obsession. So, I'm going to figure out the human brain and then create marketing that kind of penetrates through that. On the other side, I'm going to promise fun. We are going to learn, but we're going to have fun. We're going to get nerdy, but we're going to have fun. We're going to laugh. There are going to be bloopers, no question. We're going to enjoy the process. Let's not make this heavy. Let's make it light.
I love that. I love that. And I think that that's really important. Like the mix of both of those,
Yeah.
because it's like opposites it in theory, right? Like one of them is
Completely.
like very nerdy, sort of like we're going to analyze brains. And then the other
Yeah.
one's like, but we're going to do it while having fun.
Yeah. 100%. Yes.
I love that. Good. And so, how do you approach social media content creation in terms of like, should we be everywhere? Should we? Energy, like energy, because obviously in theory, sure,
Yeah.
we should be everywhere,
Sure.
but I feel at times like if you have a big team, of course you should be everywhere, but at times it's like, where is your energy at? You know, what can you manage? Where I know you talk a lot about like not resenting your business, right? And so
Yeah.
it's like, how do we choose? Or I don't know, I just want to hear what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah. Okay, so one thing that we've done time and time again, anytime I start building a content team, I end up regretting it and I pull back. And the reason for that is I want to always stay like in touch with what one person or one person with maybe a VA or a support person, what they can do in a day while also running a business. And I know that that seems almost like I'm limiting myself, except it forces me to create different systems, leverage, and give different advice, which I am a huge fan of. So it's always myself or me and my husband Paul that create everything. We don't have a team creating content. We don't, just plug everything into AI or anything like that. But the first thing that I recommend is know what your current season of life actually allows. We all have good seasons, busy seasons, tough seasons. You know, when you're running kids to theater lessons, theater camp and all of that throughout the day, it's challenging. So my content styles change based on the season. But when it comes to picking platforms, this is super simple. I hope everyone likes this. Pick one, two, maybe three, but don't push for three unless you really just feel called. One, two, or three platforms that you love to view on. You understand kind of the trends, kind of what's working, like you love it. I always pick one that's like, this is my pace setter. This is the platform where I'm seeing kind of what I need to create, etc. For me, it's usually TikTok or Instagram Reels. So pick those and then figure out what platforms you can naturally repurpose to. For example, Reels can go on Shorts, they can go on Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, they can even go on Threads sometimes. That works for some people. But I'm like, if I can create it once and then have it go out everywhere else, same exact post, very minimally different captions, we're good to go. But I'm not creating platform specific content most of the time.
I love that. Yeah, I agree. That's kind of how I approach it too. I try to focus on two, but I find that, and obviously we repurpose all over, right? But it's not necessarily about just where you're repurposing. For me, it's really about where my energy, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like where my heart is at, right? And so, for example, for the first, I don't know, 8 or 9 years of my business, that was through Facebook organic. And for the last 6, 7 months, it's been more LinkedIn. And it's just like an internal, that's where
Switch.
my energy is at, right? And I've always done a little bit of TikTok, repurpose things into Instagram, and really focus this past year on YouTube and growing my YouTube channel. But energetically, it's like I have to only be at one, maybe two max, because otherwise I just can't. It's
I
crazy.
feel the same way. My max is three for platforms of focus. And then, especially as a social media strategist, I have to be comfortable with the fact that the other stuff is bonus in that season. And some people might be like, how do you call yourself an expert when all these platforms aren't thriving? And I'm like, these are just bonus views. This is
Exactly.
not my focus right now. That's okay.
Exactly. Okay, so last question that I want to ask you, and then I want to read something for you, is I want to ask you about the mindset piece, because I think that to me, I mean, obviously both you and I have been in business for a while, but I think that to me was the most surprising part of building my business. I didn't realize that what I needed to have a strong mind and be resilient. What is that? And so, like for me, it's been that constant evolution of that process internally and learning how to manage uncertainty and how to like overcome things quicker and all of that. But I'm curious to what that looks like for you.
Okay, so this is interesting. It's probably a loaded
I
answer.
know, sorry, my questions
Isn't
are,
everything always
it
complicated? Like,
is.
there's a simple version. And okay, so one thing that's wild is mindset was fantastic for me as I built this business. So I grew up, in poverty. I grew up never having rich parents. I just remember, like, there was never enough money all the time for pretty much like everything. And so the beliefs that I was given, I had to like quickly replace them. And I just did like a Tarzan swing from one set of mindsets and beliefs to the next. And that worked pretty well until I realized it was all like a mask, if that makes sense. Mindset didn't resolve some of the deep-seated like issues and things. So I had to first mindset, make money, because sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. And then use that to afford extensive therapy and then get to the root of the issue a decade later. And now, actually, mindset is easier, but mindset is a great place to start. Kind of imagine yourself doing a Tarzan swing. I'm just gonna fully switch to a whole new set of beliefs. And then my big thing was, I'm gonna need very extensive therapy. It's gonna be very expensive. So I gotta build this pretty big and then we can make that happen. So,
I love that. That's the perfect answer. I love it. Okay, so I'm going to read you something that I have. So it's something that a formula that I created that I call the need to have formula. And basically, it's a process where we focus on how to turn what you do from a nice to have into a need to have. I oftentimes, especially with a lot of coaching, that things sound like nice to haves. Sure, it would be nice. I mean, of course, like I would love mindset work, right? Like I would love it. Do I need to invest? Well, not necessarily. And so for me, it's ultimately communication. Like, how do we communicate effectively what we do? And so I have a whole process for this, and I wrote something for you. I hope that I get it right, but I wrote something for you based off of, and I was just like updating a piece of it based off something that you said before. So
Oh,
hopefully
cute.
it's
I
not
love
offensive.
that. Yeah.
I wrote something for you on based off kind of what I know about you and what I've seen. So,
Let's hear it.
okay, here we go.
Yeah.
All right, so as a smart business owner who has worked hard on establishing yourself in the market, you've likely reached the point where your personal content creation efforts, no matter how strategic, can only take you so far. Despite posting consistently, you find yourself as the primary driver of all audience engagement, content creation, and conversion, essentially operating as a one-person marketing team, even though you've built a solid business. And I bet that to expand your reach and convert more, you've tried following trends and content formulas and viral strategies that got you views, but not leads. You've posted more frequently across multiple platforms to increase visibility, or added more case studies and behind-the-scenes content, or implemented content calendars to batch creation systems. But the issue here isn't that you need better content creation skills. It's that most entrepreneurs excel at building engaging content and a following, but they haven't systematically developed systems that transforms followers into buyers who actively seek to work with you. So this is why you need the viral authority system. This is a method that combines deep understanding of human psychology with authentic content creation that actually feels enjoyable rather than forced. It's not about following templates or trying to just go viral. It's understanding the psychological patterns that drive purchasing decisions, then weaving those insights into content that reflects your genuine personality and expertise. The result is content creation that feels natural and fun while systematically activating the psychological triggers that turn followers into buyers. Okay, that was it.
That was spot on. That was it. All of that to
Yeah.
say, basically, I get results. It is
Exactly.
result driven when they're lacking results. I love that. That's a need to have. Well
There you
done.
go. There you go. Awesome. I just added the psychological part in there
Yeah.
into my system. So awesome. Well, where can people find you, Rachel? I mean, where can they not? Where can they find you?
So the easiest place right now is my website. It's rachelpeterson.com, all E's and a D in my last name. And I actually blog multiple times a week. I write those myself. I'm really proud of them. I share tips, actionable strategies, and free resources all throughout there. So it's a really good like home hub to get what you need, basically.
Awesome. I love it. Well, it was so lovely having you here. And
Amazing.
I can't wait just to continue seeing all the incredible work that you do. So thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
All right.